Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it, it's it. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten will join us to talk Major League Baseball. Paul Carr on the Champions League, right?
No? The Champions.
Champions League. We got Paulie coming in to talk that. First, we have tweets at Beat of the Book. We get tweets. We appreciate it. Roger Jones. Guys, I know ANG investigation has not yet revealed that the Breeders' Cup is next Friday, Saturday, but it could. But could by any chance we get a segment with Samo Bomb? If you don't mind, fans programming the show a bit. Absolutely, we could.
I totally had that in mind. I was actually planning on texting him today.
Kelly was all over it. Promise you.
He's actually planning on texting him today anyway, so that's a good reason, Adam.
Mr. B says, Fernando threw 149 pitches in a complete game three for the win in the 1981 series against the Yankees. Dave Roberts' head would explode nowadays. That's for sure. Any manager's head would explode nowadays. Easy Breezy said the biggest game in Rebel history, talking about the UNLV game against Boise State. He said the biggest one was circa 1982, UNLV Cal State Fullerton. Winner gets to a bowl game. Randall Cunningham, he says, beat his beloved Titans in the frozen air late night game. And then Bob C-137. I'm offended. Oh, you didn't do the politics yet? I'm ready to be offended, which really captures the essence of this whole discussion. And again, for those who missed at the beginning, we've talked political betting on a numbers game. We did so through the 2020 election cycle betting. We were kind of one of the few folks who did it. VSiN wasn't around for 2016. We got on air in 2017. We talked about it so much, we ended up talking about it in the LA Times. Like it's sort of quaint now to look back on the fact that it was such a little cottage industry then of folks talking about election betting. Now everybody is. And with this nation as polarized or ever, I wanted to make some sense of it because the goal here, again, is apolitical. The goal here is to make you money. We don't care about your politics. We're just trying to make money. And I wanted to get one of the more measured voices on the show to discuss this. He's bashful about this because he says, I'm not an election expert, which I think is the proper way to enter this kind of discussion. But it's our buddy Rufus Peabody who joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's part of the Massey Peabody team. He's, of course, part of the podcast that he does with Jeff Mock called Bet the Process. And of course, he's a co-founder of Unabated. How you doing, Rufus?
I'm doing well, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I started this, but I want to get your sort of thoughts on this because looking at your Twitter feed, here's my topic sentence. In 2020, a lot of bettors ended up losing a lot of money the night of the election because they thought they had muscle memory on the Electoral College from 2016. They saw when Trump won Florida in 2020, they thought, oh, this is just like 2016. He's going to win again. And a lot of sports bettors who didn't handicap the Electoral College well, and they ended up losing on the election. I feel like this year, the sort of misinformation is happening pre-flop, where I feel like we have polls that are strange. Like you have pollsters who are strangely pitted against each other, talking about each other's polls negatively. And then I feel like we have polling indexes which are polluted. And so people might end up on the right side of things, but it might not be for the reasons they think. Can you talk first of all about the polls? Because I noticed you've been all over the whole Nate Silver versus Harry Caine thing. Could you explain that?
Well, I think it goes back to Nate Silver versus Nassim Nicholas Taleb. And these are both people that, you know, their books have had profound impacts on me. I feel like, you know, if you've never read either of their books, you know, I highly recommend. They're both very smart, intelligent people, but, you know, they're not both right on this, in my opinion. And Taleb has been critical throughout. He was critical throughout the 2020 election cycle of Nate, basically saying that his model has too much uncertainty in it. And basically you could arbitrage it by betting against whoever he's high on at the time. It's because it's so much mean reverting. And there's a lot of smart people that have made try to explain to me mathematically exactly what the argument is. And you can, you know, when Taleb explains it himself, it's in mathematical proofs and all Greek letters. And I'm kind of like, okay, here we go again. So that's kind of been, I think, the crux of it. And Harry Crane has kind of joined in Taleb's side and saying that Nate's model is, Nate, who was at 538, now has the silver bulletin, but that Nate is, his model is essentially moving after Poly Market, which is the biggest political prediction market out there. And it just keeps going back to 50%. And so it's, in essence, he doesn't think it's worth much for that reason. And so, but to me, I kind of feel like compare it to a football game where, you know, if you look at a win probability chart from a football game, it might show one team being 60% at one point and then going to 40% and then going to 60% again. That doesn't mean the probability was 50% the whole time, though.
I see. Okay. So put in, and I just want to get, because you alluded to also, so again, you have what I feel is in that discussion. So you have really smart people. You have, by the way, I said Harry Kane. I didn't mean to inject the British soccer player, the Premier League star Harry Kane into this Harry Crane.
Or the Mad Men character.
Yes, or that. So what you have is you have people who are trying to do things mathematically. And the other side, I feel, is a little, both sides are a little politically charged. There's like, even the smartest people, you know, these guys are so wildly smart. They're all probability and statistics experts. And yet they can't help themselves by, I feel, injecting kind of their political bents into their criticisms. And so I just want to get it across, because then there's things called polling indexes. And we have a guy named Simon Rosenberg who was pointing out that these polling indexes, and this goes back to, if you remember the midterms in 2022, there was supposed to be a big red wave and it never materialized. And what he is saying is that these polling indexes, which are an aggregate of polls, what you're getting is really far right leaning polls into those indexes in a way that is making it seem like former President Trump is destroying. And what he's saying is, no, it's just the same thing as what happened 2 years ago in the supposed red wave that never materialized. And so my point to bettors, and I'm curious if you agree or disagree with this, my point is this: if you are betting the mortgage that former President Trump is going to win the election, I'm not saying he's not going to. I'm saying it's very possible that he could. I'm just saying that it's not for the reasons that are being currently portrayed.
That makes sense, Gil. And I think. You have to remember, polling isn't an exact science, and neither is building a model for that point. And so you have, by the way, you have mathematical people on both sides here. And I don't think Nate's injecting his politics into it. And I don't think or know if Taleb is either. But I will say, I think what Nate does so well is figuring out the validity of a particular poll. But why polls are not math and why there is opinion, I don't want to say opinion, but there's some art into it, is what you're trying to do is forecast what the turnout's going to be, what the demographics are going to be of the electorate that turns out. And so if you say, okay, we were wrong in 2020, we need to adjust our polling numbers to reflect that, and you get an electorate that doesn't skew the way 2020 did, you're going to predict a much bigger red wave than you actually get. And that's basically what happened in 2022. And so if you think about it, if you're randomly sampling people, you're going to, you know, it's, you want that sample to then contain or to be reflective of the actual people you anticipate turning out to vote in terms of like composition, racially, political party affiliation, et cetera. And so You have to predict what that's going to be. So that's where I think that's where you see some real differences.
Have you made bets so far, Rufus?
I have.
What do you got?
I'm at the moment, I'm long on Kamala. I will say the best bet I made was it was towards the end of July. It was the Monday after Biden had come out and said he was not going to seek the nomination. And I laid a price of 90 cents. So like close to minus 1,000, basically. On Biden to not be, or the no on will Biden still be president on Friday. And so it was 4 days later, because there was conspiracy theories going around that Biden was actually dead or sick and about to die in Delaware since nobody had seen him. And so I think a great strategy here is just to fade whatever the conspiracy theory is out there. there's a lot of people that are extremely emotional about politics and irrational and believe things that are completely not grounded in fact or evidence. And I think there's some opportunities if you're willing to lay prices there that just are kind of insane from the perspective of a sports bettor. I mean, you don't see those kind of opportunities in sports.
Yeah, it makes for a very interesting market. And I, you know, how I feel about it now, that you said it best. People are really emotional about this subject. And so it does create betting opportunities that we're not used to seeing in sports. I'll tell you right now how I feel. We're 13 days out from the election of 2024. And the thing that I feel is probably the truest right now is, and Harry Enten, who is more famously on CNN, but he says it right now. He goes, we're talking about some of the swing states. Trump is a point over Harris in North Carolina. Harris with the same slender lead over Trump in what is, you know, considered the blue wall of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which if you're only leading by 1% or less, is less a blue wall than it is like a blue screen door kind of thing, just to use an analogy. I get the sense that it is actually that close, that it could get either way. I don't know that for a fact, but from my perspective, that's why I want to do this, because it's a cautionary thing of people who think one of these candidates is about to have a landslide over the other. I just think they are going down the wrong rabbit holes here.
You could see an electoral college landslide, though, because the polling errors could be correlated. And so if one of these candidates wins all these swing states, it's not like they're going to win the swing states in a landslide. But it could result in more of an electoral college landslide.
It could. But again, if you believe the margin is that slim, that's the thing. Right. It could go, if you talk about seven swing states, if it goes 7-0, you're right. But if it ends up 5-2, right. And then there's the most remote scenario of an actual tie, which is all another subject, which we'll have to do another show.
Nate actually believes the 7-0 scenario is like four in the low 40% range.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Pretty possible, yeah.
That's Nate Silver's perspective. He believes a 7-0 Democratic swing state landslide is a 40%+ chance.
Oh, thank you, Rufus. That's either candidate.
What's that?
Either candidate.
Either candidate.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com is the number one SDBet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com. Today, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Always appreciate the feedback via tweet and text. By the way, Chris Felica, who's live texting the show. Felica had two things to say. He said, one, has Borchard figured out a way to parlay the Yankees and Dodgers despite them playing each other? And then he also said, damn, I was rooting for more political talk there before Kelly ran the break music. He's blaming you for ending that segment.
Yeah, that's my bad.
All right. And then we get tweets at Beanie the Book. This is from Linda Cardia. Hey, Linda. Hey.
What's up, Linda?
Hey, Linda. Thanks for, making our demographics diverse.
That's right.
She said, hi, Gil. Thanks for the tennis picks, though so frustrating with the walkovers. I was thinking about the schedule advantage stats. Could you review the site and the gentleman that brought those to us? Thanks. Linda, I'm not sure what sport you are referring to. I'm going to guess hockey, because we did definitely talk schedule in hockey. Steve Mackinnon, I'm taking a stab here because I do remember talking about this.
Yeah.
Steve Mackinnon on our website at VSiN.com had a great piece about different kinds of rest advantages. He had like six categories in the NHL, and he actually provided the chart with all of those categories and every single game of the NHL season that applied to those. That's at VSiN.com. Now, the question becomes, how do you find it? I think you have to run a search at this point on Mackinnon and throw in like schedule or so. You have to be creative to call it up.
Yeah, he writes a lot. You're going to have to dig back a little bit what he's written.
But Steve Mackinnon deserves all the credit if that's in fact what you were referring to, Linda.
And I'm just going to assume, Gil, for the NBA, those are, rest advantage, disadvantage stuff. That is something that I've factored in more and more and more over the years in my NBA handicapping. I would say probably hitting a peak a couple years ago and having a couple great regular season betting wise because of that. I would assume it's just as important in the NHL. So yeah. That stuff is great from Steve.
Kyle Stewart on Twitter says a sandbag for flag. Or Gaitel. Harold Irving. Apolitically, I'm hoping you'll be referring to Jeff Parlay as the Donald J. Trump of producers.
I've already thought about it. Yeah, we thought about that.
Harold, sounds like you're being political. Brinks, Newark. Dodgers 4-1. Why would you put that out there? The Dodgers didn't do that against the Padres or Mets. Yeah, it's because you didn't have to win four against the Padres. But that's how I feel about this series against the Yankees. By the way, Jason Weingarten's coming up. He'll even shock you more. He's got the Dodgers in four. Chris Heath, Dave Mason, he says the head of Bet Online is openly Trump. He said, would that be a good place to fade? Yeah, I don't know if the guy running the book is controlling the odds there. I don't know about that.
Yeah, he'll take your money regardless.
He'll take your money regardless. Let's see. The numbers guy says Trump, some very fine people on both sides. Peabody, there's mathematicians on both sides. Yeah. Again, the point that I wanted to get across, that was very interesting. I don't know if you got the last comment from Rufus. So again, this is what makes this so interesting to me. We have on Twitter a lot. We have a lot of political polling indexes. So they're an aggregate of polls. And those aggregates are not an accurate reflection of what is real because they're actually being sort of gamed by one side. I'm just trying to say this, that it doesn't mean that Trump is not going to win. It could mean that Trump wins anyway, but it won't be because of what you're seeing in indexes. By the way, we also have these markets. Polymarket is the most famous one of all. That Elon Musk was at a Trump rally mentioning Polymarket, and so they got a whole bunch of massive bets that were induced that way. So again, what I'm saying is that last point, it's all going to come down to the Electoral College. So all of this stuff with polling as bettors, you either have to view it as the noise that it is or exploit the noise that it is, right? That is your job as a bettor too. But what I'm saying is it's not accurate. What is accurate is that this is super duper close. And what Rufus said, with an Electoral College, it becomes this, I don't know what the equivalent is, where it's super close in the seven states that matter. And specifically, there's four states that even matter more than the seven. It could be really, really razor thin, but it also could be a shutout. And as Rufus said at the end, Nate Silver has it. It could be a shutout either way because it's so close right now. If you believe the Nate Silver side of things, which Rufus absolutely does. And Rufus has made a lot of money following Nate Silver. So we do that segment just to show you it's an amazing betting case study where a lot of emotions are involved, and it's your job as a bettor to sort of sift through all of that and try to make money, either figuring out what the signal and noise is, to use the Nate Silver phrase, or to exploit what the wrong information is. But at this point, who knows who wins? Could go either way. Paul Carr joins us. I don't think he wants to talk political betting, other than Harry Kane's involvement, as we found out last segment. It comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Sorry about that. I meant Harry Crane is what I meant.
I know you're excited for my Bayern-Barcelona pick coming up.
Yeah.
I will say, on the election, I do love election night from a TV production standpoint, having worked in it for so long, because you get, it's basically a Super Bowl from a political TV perspective. Everyone brings out their cool maps and all the effects, and there's 73 people on a desk, and it's great fun to watch from that production standpoint for me.
I am with you.
Completely agree. I've been around those newsrooms as well, Paul. It's kind of nice being the sports guy, though, and you can be like, let me just get out of the way, and nobody's going to care.
I like that. Political TV and newspapers are like, this is a crazy night, we don't know what to do. And in sports media, that's like Tuesday. Everything's live and happening. That's just what it is.
I loved it as a kid. And I couldn't figure out, because I think it's like sports. Like, I couldn't figure out why I liked it so much. Yeah. But I just want to get to that last thing, and we'll move on to soccer and get your picks. But Harry Enten, again, he went back. He's a pollster analyst, really. He's not a pollster himself, but he analyzes polls. And what he was saying is he went back to 1972. So 2 weeks out from every election since 1972. And without question, he says, this is the in his opinion, this is the single closest one based on what the poll was 2 weeks out. So his analysis.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
Long night for the TV people and anybody else who wants to get a result on that Tuesday.
And the way that our system works, again, it's the Electoral College, and it comes down to a handful of states. So that's how it is. Let's talk some Champions League, right? You're here for Champions League, for goodness sake.
Champions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just here for Kelly singing.
What was that? That was interesting.
It's a little Champions League song. Sounder they always do. Yeah, the nice. Champions.
All right, you have two plays here, right, Paul?
Yeah, I got a couple. I had a couple yesterday. Split them. Got a couple today. I'll start with the Kelly Bidlin theory of take the team that you've heard of over the team you haven't.
Oh, nice.
This is Inter Milan laying the goal and a half at Young Boys. Young Boys is a Swiss club. They have lost 5-0 to Barcelona and 3-0 to Aston Villa. And Inter Milan is also a good team, just like those other two. Young Boys not having a good season. They're in Switzerland. They're in 10th place in that league. And that is a league that only has 12 teams in it. So they're not playing well either domestically or when they're drastically overmatched. And Inter Milan is one of the 5 to 10 best teams in the world. They got a couple injuries, but they have enough striker depth that I don't think this matters. And yeah, they're going to go to Switzerland and win this one 2-0, 3-0 type of thing is what it looks like to me. And because, again, the goal difference matters in this new format even a little bit more because you've got at one giant 36-team table. So if you have an opportunity to roll up 3, 4, 5 goals, you should take it. And this is one of those chances for Milan, Inter Milan, against our worst team.
All right. Inter Milan giving up the goal and a half at Young Boys. This is a Champions League where Man City is the short shot. Real Madrid right behind them, 3-1 and +350 respectively. Then you have Arsenal and Liverpool in single digits. Then right in the middle there, there's Bayern Munich at 9-1 and Barcelona at 12-1. And they are playing each other. What do you got here?
Yeah, this is the big one of the week. This is why UEFA redid the whole format. Instead of those 8 groups of 4, it's just one big group of 36 teams. And the way they set it up is you get some big matchups like this in this early round. So, both these teams are off to great starts in the league. They're both in first place, playing very well. Their underlying numbers more or less support how they're playing. Maybe run a little hot, especially on the Barcelona side, but they're good for a reason. And Barcelona 9-1 in La Liga, but their schedule's been pretty soft, and they've still conceded a goal per game, 10 goals in 10 games, and the underlying numbers suggest should be a little bit higher even. So opponents are getting really good shots against them, especially from the wings, especially in transition. And now Barcelona is playing a Bayern Munich team that has some of the best wingers in the world, and Olise, Gnabry, and Coman, and all these guys. And so I like Bayern Munich going into Barcelona. I played this one at +170 on Monday. It was +160, +165 last night, and I saw as low as +145 this morning. That's not great. I mean, 150 is probably the lowest I would go. So shop around, see what's there. These Champions League lines move a lot in the last day or two before these games. But I like Bayern to win this one. Again, +170, really good price. I go down to +150.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Inter Milan giving up a goal and a half at Young Boys. And then Bayern Munich, good to +150. Don't go below that, Paul says. Bayern Munich against Barcelona. Barcelona.
So in. In? Especially on Inter.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Hey guys.
Paul Carr, everybody, from True Media Networks, and of course, the host of the Expected Value podcast. Great name, great title, great podcast. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Jason Weingarten on the other side. Just how ridiculous is his love for the Dodgers in this series? We will find out next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College basketball tips off November 4th, and starting tomorrow, you can get our college basketball betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 50 rankings, all 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures and season-long prop bets, plus betting nuggets on every major conference team from Greg Hoops Peterson. And we're talking every one of them, because that's how Greg rolls with that. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $120. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball season long, March Madness and beyond for less than $20 a month. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. So let's review that. College basketball begins on Monday, November 4th. Mm-hmm. Election night is Tuesday, November 5th, the next night. And I think that's the first college football rankings that come out. Like, could they have picked a worse night to do that?
No, I don't think they could have.
Hey, here's your college football rankings. It's like, I think we're preoccupied with something else. Thanks, college football, for your first rankings. Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting week. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback.
James didn't take my note on the graphic. I said, all you need is Cooper Flagg on there. Who are the rest of these guys? Just big Cooper Flagg.
How many Cooper Flags have we got? We got Sag for Flag, Lag for Flag. Go in the pooper for Cooper.
All right. You know the cheesiest one I kind of liked? I forget who sent it in, but Capture the Flag.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
And then it's cheesy, but I like it.
And then we had one. We had one more. Sandbag for flag. Yes, thank you, Kyle Stewart. Sandbag for flag. Yeah. One of those will catch on. JC, I was at Circa all day Sunday, Gil, on the north side. There is definitely an uptick in female bettors. Witness the same thing at Fountain Blue. We love that.
Yeah.
Very great. An unscientific JC observation, but I think he's probably right.
I actually did spend a lot of time at the Fountain Blue Sportsbook a couple weeks ago. My dad was in town. I kind of noticed the same thing, actually.
Thad Biddle?
Yeah, old Thad was in town. Yep. Okay. Yep.
Doug Wedge. And by the way, thank you, Doug. You are just you're the nicest, most generous guy there is. You shouldn't have. Doug Wedge says, morning, Gil. Speaking of political betting, I'm sure you've seen some big political ads on the strip. I took this right before we left Monday night. My thought was, does this say more about the type of people who would bet on elections, or can people actually separate their political beliefs from their bankroll? It's an interesting betting world regardless. And Doug, I think that's the point that I'm trying to make. It's an amazing, you know, again, in 2020, we had really successful sports bettors. We see this all the time in poker, right? We have poker players that go try to bet sports, and they're great poker players, and they stink at betting sports. And we have some great sports bettors who tried betting in politics last time, and they lost their shirts, some of whom, Kelly, have never been heard from again.
Mm-hmm.
True story. And so I think Doug's thing is interesting because, yes, there are some really, really interesting live betting living ads that are happening on the strip with betting. And what Doug is pointing out is it just the type of person that's betting this that is skewing this? And are people having trouble separating what they want to happen with what is actual reality? And that's my only point. My point is your candidate may end up winning, but it might not be for the reasons you're being pointed towards right now. And there's a great tweet from NCI95 Gambler who says, Gil, on the segment with Rufus on political betting, I would like to say, just look at the election held in Mexico about 4 months ago, where a Jewish woman became president in a country where like 90% of the population is Catholic, and polls showed a really close race. She ended up winning by a landslide. So the polls weren't even close to reality. And that's what I'm trying to convey here. So if you're going to win, I hope you do, no matter who's out there betting whatever they do, but just don't go nuts if you're basing it on what you're seeing right now, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think this way more than anything you'd see in sports. Like, what was the MGM stat from, like, there was 7 times more money bet on Bronny to win Rookie of the Year than LeBron to win MVP. Like, that is, like, everybody wants to have a fun, or they're emotional or whatever with Bronny. Like, so much of the political betting is emotional.
We all have flawed human brains, and so we're all susceptible to an inundation of disinformation or misinformation. And if you get enough of it, right, you just start, it's, you know, through it, if for horrible reasons and great reasons in human history. And we're just susceptible to that kind of thing. So when you're betting, I'm just sort of PSAing and saying, you know, hey, don't go nuts with this. You may end up getting the winning candidate anyway, but it won't be because of this. I'll say that for the 10th time. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Weingarten, of course, has many thoughts on this. And of course, Major League Baseball. He joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California at Spreadopedia is where you can follow him on Twitter. How you doing, Jason?
There's an election coming up.
What did you bet so far? What are you on?
Surprisingly, I don't feel the need to rush down and keep betting more on either side of this. I do have a couple bets on Kamala Harris right now at about plus 148, plus 150 or so. I very much hope to lose those. But, you know, you were talking about all the different reasons people bet things. You know, I bet these Kamala Harris bets because it's a great price. I don't want them to win. You know, what I want and what I'm betting on aren't necessarily the same things here.
A great point. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a, you know, just to, yeah, your point, why people are betting the things they are and what they want to happen aren't necessarily correlated.
Yeah. Or sometimes are so correlated to their detriment that they lose all rational thought, right? It works in many different directions. That's what makes all this so fascinating, right?
I'm personally happy to lose, you know, $1,000, $2,000, a couple thousand bucks on a bet I don't want to win here. It's a psychological thing, but I do think it's a close race. I
I do too. I
couldn't tell you what's going to happen one way or the other.
I couldn't either. I'm with you. That's exactly how I feel. But
getting plus 150 on Harris, I think, is a good bet.
The only bets that I have are on Harris at plus 150 some time ago as well, and it's the same sort of thing. It's like, this is just a good bet, but if you ask me right now who I think I'm going to win, I have no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, with odds?
No idea.
With odds this close, too. Like, there has been arbitrage opportunities already,
yes,
right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you could be doing that.
Yeah, but Jason's point is such a good one, though. Like, he's able to compartmentalize his bet in one side right. of his brain, so to speak, while not necessarily from his perspective wanting it to manifest. And I think that's a really evolved thing here, whereas most people, as has been demonstrated in this market, like, people are able to do it in sports. It's funny, like, really good right. sports bettors are able to do it in sports, but when it comes to this subject, they're so emotional, right? And so this is why we find this so fascinating. What about the World Series, Jason? How much do you love the Dodgers?
Can't wait. Pretty excited. I think in the end, we got the matchup that everybody more or less wanted, other than, you know, at AL Central fans or people who hate Dodgers or the Yankees. But this is the matchup that we deserved at the end of the season, you know, come playoffs or whatever. So I'm pretty happy with this. I'm still working on my MVP stuff. You know, when you look at the top here, you got Otani, Judge, Soto, Stanton, Betts. It's like, obviously one of them most likely to win. It's hard to really dive deep into the rest of the stuff and want to make a huge play for MVP. But when it comes to the series and everything, I think Dodgers are going to win. I wanted a better price on the 4-0 sweep to really bet a lot of money on that. But I think the best bets here, Dodgers minus 1.5 games. You know, Dodgers rollover money line parlay stuff. I think at the end of the day, this Yankees bullpen is just not built to beat the Dodgers. I mean, I see Mark Leiter and Tim Hill and Clay Holmes. I don't see the Dodgers, you know, having trouble with that. So I don't know. I think a sweep's possible.
Did you end up betting the sweep at 14?
Yeah, I did. I got 9-1 on the sweep. I didn't go crazy on it. I wanted to make a really big bet on the sweep, but I wanted a better price. So seeing that I was going to get like 9-1, I figured I could just bet this game by game. You know, there's ways to get creative with getting the sweep price, but not having to lay it, you know, before game one.
Yeah, someone was upset on Twitter that I bet the 4-1. It's not nearly as big as my series bet is. The series bet is the big one. And for me, it's, you know, could the Yankees win? Of course, it's baseball, right? They could win. They have enough if things went their way. I've already laid out how I think their path is. They get to Dodgers relief pitching in a way that they get to face them multiple times as the series progresses. You get good Aaron Judge. Stanton somehow continues. The other guys still get on base, like Torres and Volpe. So there's a path. But I'm with you, Jason. I think ultimately that Dodgers lineup against that bullpen and really Yankee starters, right? Like, I don't know if we're getting the best of Cole. Who knows what Rodon will have? I just think that if, you know, Tommy Canely throwing a changeup time and time again is not the way to beat the LA Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees are a good team. I don't necessarily think they're a great team. I do think this Dodgers team is a great team. And, you know, end of the day, like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a sweep, wouldn't surprise me if it's 5 games. It would surprise me if it's 6 or 7, and it would surprise me if the Yankees win, and it would very much surprise me if the Yankees win, you know, themselves in a 5-game series or a 4-game series. So I'm very much a Dodgers fan here for the next week.
Not before that, though, just for the next week. He wants to make clear.
For next week. I think the series price, by the way, is absolutely the way to go.
I do, too. Real quick, last thing, because I know you said you're still working on it, but in 10 seconds, just give me one name that you're considering for MVP.
I'm looking at some Dodgers players farther down the list. Obviously, it's going to be a Dodgers player. If you give me a minute tomorrow, I can come back on and tell you. I'm
looking back. Okay. Oh, we'll wait for next time. We'll get you on later in the week. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's win some money on this World Series.
Jason Weingarten, everybody. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up right here on The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up at the top of the hour, after A Numbers Game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and Patrick Maher. It was Stormy today. This is the Money Moves iteration where Patrick tells his dating stories and Stormy just fields the ground balls and gives him advice. I think they do that sometimes. Stormy and Patrick coming up on Money Moves and sports betting, of course, noon to 2 Eastern. Then Prop Points with John Hansen after that for an hour, and Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Visa, the sports betting network, that is your schedule coming up. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Linda Cardia clarified. She tweeted in earlier about the schedule, and then I sort of surmised, oh, she's talking about Steve Mackinnon with the NHL. Gave me an opportunity to sort of big up Steve Mackinnon with the NHL scheduling spots. And she says, oh, my bad, the schedule advantage thingy was for the NFL. What you're referring to, Linda, was Warren Sharp. Warren Sharp came on the show this offseason, and he talked about schedule advantages, how, remember the Ravens had, remember the Niners had the worst of it? Mm-hmm. I think they were like minus 31. The Ravens had the best of it. There was this big gap between the best and the worst, like over a month of net rest advantage gap between those two franchises and everybody else in between. So it was Warren Sharp. Sorry about that, Linda. This is from Manny Davison. I'm just ready for a sleep-deprived, malnourished Steve Kornacki. Talking about election coverage.
Yeah,
he's with the rolled up sleeves and the chart. Charles in Connecticut at Hoop Homer says, you are not the only numbers nerd kid fascinated by election night. Not the analysis, too young, but the graphics of the map with its colors and all the electoral college numbers as a race. I remember watching Carter versus Ford vividly. Wow, that's 1976, Kelly. Carter versus Ford.
A wee bit before.
What you know
time.
About that?
Yeah, nothing. It was 10 years before I was born.
Gerald Ford, the only president who was not elected on a national ticket.
Really?
Yes, because Nixon was the president. He had a vice president, Spiro Agnew, who was indicted. And then it ended up being Gerald Ford. And then Nixon had to resign, and Gerald Ford became the president. Little politics factoid
there
for
you.
There
we go. I just learned something.
Paul Medina, I cannot read your slogan for Cooper Flag, but thank you for chiming in. Loser Larry. Oh, Loser Larry for life, he says. That's his Twitter handle. He says, soccer moneyline betting tip. Bet365 grades a team moneyline bet as a win if the team is up by two goals. How about that? Only book I use now for my soccer moneyline bets.
Well.
So if a team goes up two goals, ball game, graded. That's what he's saying.
What was Paul telling us off air, too? Because he had one of those yesterday. He had Real Madrid or something against somebody.
Well, that was just some big comeback, right? Oh, but you're saying they would have been down two goals.
Right.
Well, maybe he didn't bet it there. At that one shop.
And if you get graded a winner, does that mean a loser gets graded then? Like, that's not possible.
Well, but do we know that Paul bet at this particular shop?
No.
Oh, you're just saying, how do they, in that circumstance, how would they grade it?
Yeah.
Because the team was down two goals and they ended up winning 5-2.
So everybody's getting paid out? Everybody's getting paid out.
Bruh, these are questions for off the air. Sewer Betts Braz. Now that the Chiefs are better with D-Hop, it's obvious they'll lose their next game. It's simple math. He's probably right.
Yeah.
Oh, and Wise Guy Profits, thank you very much. He went ahead, Wise Guy Profits did. He found the Steve Mackinnon rest advantage piece, the rest advantage betting systems for the NHL, and he tweeted it out. So anybody wants it, you can go to Wise Guy Profits, who has a different kind of handle, though. Schleich LOL 76 or whatever he's got. It's going to be tough to find. But you can see my feed. He's on there. Hot Dog Harriet, allow me to step in for Jason. Teoscar 28-1.
I was thinking the same thing. I almost yelled it.
Hot Dog Harriet, I got me some Teoscar as well. Which brings us to our best bets of the day, courtesy of GBank. The VEASAN official bank is GBank. With our best bets of the day, Kelly and I will start things. And then we'll get to the guests. We should do guests first, but you know, we're kind of selfish like that.
We are, yes.
Dodgers minus 124. I am on the Dodgers at the series price. That is my largest baseball bet of the year. Dodgers 4-1, exact result, 6-1. Teoscar, there you go. Teoscar at 24-1 for MVP. I'm with you, Hot Dog Harriet, if that is your real name. Mookie Betts 9-1. My eyes kept going to Mookie on that as well.
Yeah, I haven't bet it yet. I didn't get a chance to shop around, but I will be in on Teoscar with you guys as well. NBA for me tonight. Yes, a lot of these numbers have moved. Sorry, injuries and stuff. Cavs, Bucks for me tonight. Those numbers have moved a fair amount. Suns, I still kind of like the Suns. Anything under 5. I think if you're laying 4.5 against the Clippers tonight, I still like that bet. That's mainly where it's at right now. And the Thunder is tomorrow night in Denver. That line is still, I don't think it's moved. It's catching about 2.5 on the Thunder there tomorrow night in Denver. 2.5 is where it's at right now. Like that played that in the money line as well. Any of these dogs, just start of the NBA season, any of these dogs, you should be sprinkling some money line on too. The market's still kind of figuring out where these teams belong. I think that's something important. Just kind of
a bad way to go.
Yeah, for start of the NBA season at least.
Mark Borchardt jumped on with us earlier. He's got the World Series over 5.5 games at -186. I know that's a lot of juice, but he says there's still a little value there. Over 51.5 runs in the entire World Series. He loves that at -110. He thinks the series is going long. Shohei, stolen base leader. Shohei. +165. Max Muncy, most hits in the World Series at 30-1. Mark thought there was a lot of value in that. We also got Paul Carr Champions League bets. Inter Milan giving up 1.5 at Young Boys. And Bayern Munich beating Barcelona. It's the Castellano pronunciation there, Kelly. Castellano. Rob Moreno will tell you pronounce it differently, but he's wrong because his Spanish is lame. Bayern Munich +170 at Barcelona right there is the other one from Paul Carr.
I'm just honored that I have a betting theory or trend named after me now. Just it's the team that you've heard of versus the team you haven't heard of.
It's very, very deep.
It's very scientific right there. Yeah,
those are your best bets, by the way, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. The GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. I don't want to end the show with people thinking that's the depth of your handicapping knowledge, but you just gave a good sort of PSA for the NBA, which is this time of year. You could kind of say this for other sports
early in the year,
too, where it's like the market's not really figured out yet, so you wouldn't do terribly that strategy.
NFL, it applies, too.
NFL had drifted for weeks this year.
I think that applies to the NFL as well. You just get more... You know, you get more opportunities in the NBA, right? You're getting more games that are still early enough in the season that the books haven't completely moved off of their power ratings on teams yet. So if your numbers show value on a dog, you might want to be sprinkling that money line, playing some alt lines. There's with the books today, there's so many different ways to play these things. I like tip of the cap to, you know, especially Mark, right? Mark, who's been betting baseball for as long as he has, taking advantage of he has numbers in front of him.
Yep.
Okay, these books are want to post all these different markets now. Let me see where I actually find an edge in. And I don't know that, like, say tip of the cap to him, because I don't know, Gil, that I do the same thing. I just kind of get settled in my old ways of betting. And it's easy to just go back to betting the way that you're used to. But there are so many markets at these books now that it's worth looking around at all of them, because you might find that this – the way that you want to make a bet might be smarter to bet in a different market than just a pure, you know, side total.
Whatever. Well, you said it at the beginning there. He has the numbers, right? Mm-hmm. He's done all the work, so you might as well take advantage of it if you have them. You know, you'll get there, man, with yours. If you're saying you don't do it now.
No, it's more like I don't look. I think this is the bet to make, so I don't even consider the other markets, right? Let's take the Somich bottom of the ninth example.
Great example.
You're thinking you want to bet a side in Major League Baseball. That's all you're thinking of. You don't think to go look at the game props down.
I don't know if he went to look for it or if he just stumbled on it, but at least he was exploring and that's how he got to
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, a couple other little NBA tidbits before we get out of here early season.
Yeah. I forgot I wrote down a couple of these things. I think just kind of little tips if you are getting into NBA betting. Look, this is, it kind of goes along the same lines as what we were just talking about with everybody's kind of power ratings on teams developing as the season begins here. If you just want to focus in-game betting, I mean, we talk about that all the time. It's already one of the best sports to bet in-game. You don't need to take a pregame position. If you're unsure on numbers, you can watch these teams play a little bit, get a feel, look at some of the shooting percentages. You know, like that was something I was looking at yesterday with that Knicks Celtics game, considering jumping in live on New York at one point. But what did I say earlier? There was no point when they were under 50% from the field. It's not like they were having an off shooting half or anything like that. So, look, I think attacking the NBA live is always smart. I am very interested. One of the things I'll be looking out for is how the refs are calling games here early in the season. We had, you know, end of last season, a little bit of a change after the All-Star break and how they were officiating games. The NBA didn't really fully come out and recognize that they had delivered a message to the refs to kind of swallow the whistle a bit and let them play a little bit more. But that is something that I'm interested in seeing how these totals really shape at the beginning of the season, because I think there's a possibility we see more unders coming in because of that, because less trips to the free throw line, et cetera. And then, you know, just always the, like, I feel like I got a lot of questions on Twitter, especially yesterday and in the last couple of days. Futures, that we talk about them a lot. They're up throughout the season. You don't need to get a bet in before these games start tonight. There is an opportunity to bet pretty much all of these markets throughout the entirety of the season. No reason to rush on anything now just to make a bet.
Thanks, y'all, for being so mature with the election betting segment. Great feedback from everybody. Numbers Game, best listeners in the game. Appreciate it very much. You have me inspired to do more of them. Perhaps we'll do state by state at some point here with Mac and Pam, who have been our election coverage in the past. Appreciate it. We've done all we could do. Money Moves with Stormy and Patrick next right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.